This is LeSere Bradley Jr. welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. Glad to have you with us today. We'll be continuing the message, Sinking in the Mire. This is a very vivid expression used by the psalmist to describe what it is like to be sinking down, trying to find solid footing and not able to discover it. And yet he learned that in that condition his hope and help was in the Lord. That's a lesson we have to learn over and over again. We sometimes forget it. We lean on the arm of the flesh, and it only makes our situation worse. I pray that the message will be a blessing to you. If you'd like to get the complete message on CD, request that when writing us. The financial need is especially great right now. If you can assist us so we can keep this program on the air, address your letter to the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. A lady called me a number of years ago that had listened to our daily broadcast, and she said, Preacher, I heard you preach this morning, and you were talking about what kind of a attitude we're to have at work. And I just want to tell you that I'm in a difficult situation. I was passed over for a promotion. I should have gotten it. I was entitled to it. I deserved it. And I didn't get it. And you could tell she was upset. She said, how do you think I ought to handle it? I said, like a Christian, that you must still be kind and gracious and considerate and respect those in authority. This long pause. She said, I'm afraid I've already blown it. I went in and gave my boss an earful. I said, then your next step is to go back and apologize and admit you were wrong. So you might get depressed at work just because you got the wrong attitude. You're looking around at other people and saying, why do I get all the hard jobs? How is it that I'm not appreciated? And you begin to complain. The scriptures tell us that when we go to work, we're to remember that we're going there as workers for Jesus Christ, and that'll change your whole attitude about the job, the workplace, and everybody that you have to encounter there. You may be depressed over some of your financial conditions, and that might be as a result of the fact you failed to follow biblical principles in the past. You weren't a good steward of what God gave you. Now, some things come on us that we have no control over. Job's losses were not because he was a bad manager. It was within the providence of God that God allowed this trouble to come into Job's life. And it may come to us in like manner. But sometimes it may be because we spent when we didn't have it. We spent our money foolishly. We bought things that were not to the glory of God. We were selfish and greedy. What about family problems? How do you get there? Well, generally, family problems don't flare up overnight. It's something that is a result of long-term activities, long-term failures. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. If you get upset, get over it. Get it settled that day before the sun goes down. Don't take it to bed with you. Don't get up mad the next morning. Get over it. People that harbor anger and bitterness, it's an evil thing that springs up and defiles many, the scriptures tell us. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. When things are out of order in the home, people will say things to each other there they would not dare say anywhere else. If they spoke in that tone or used those words at work, they know they'd get fired. If they acted that way at church, they'd have to be disciplined. But somehow they feel free to unload on each other in the home. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, only that which is for the edifying. of others, that it may build them up, ministering grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, whatever kind it is, resentment, anger, bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another. My, how basic. Sometimes family members are not even kind to each other. Harsh. Easily disturbed. Bickering. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You overlook that and neglect those practical admonitions, and after a while, family problems are big. And they can seem to be without a solution. Say, I don't know what to do next. This has gone on so long. There's so many hurt feelings. Don't know what to do next. And then the battle with the flesh. How do you get there? Maybe some of those evil thoughts, some of those temptations have been arising because you've been reading the wrong material. You've been looking at the wrong movies. You've been looking at the wrong television programs. I remember years ago going to visit an old sister, and she had the TV on when I came in, and she was obviously embarrassed. And I don't know if they still have soap operas, but this was in the day they had soap operas. And she began to stutter a little bit about what she was going to say. She obviously hadn't expected the preacher to come in and see her afternoon fare on television. She said, well, I tell you, I just believe I need to keep up with what's going on. That's all. I don't like any of this stuff, but I want to be informed. Now, let me tell you, there are areas where it's all right to be uninformed. You don't have to be up on it all. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, he says it's a shame to speak of those things that are done of them in secret. You don't have to explore it all. But you watch the wrong stuff, read the wrong stuff, travel with the wrong people, hear the wrong conversation, and you begin to have a battle with the flesh. What about the struggle with unbelief? That may be because you're influenced by the world. Maybe somebody at work, you have a lot of confidence in them, and you've been listening to their conversation, and they've raised a lot of questions you couldn't answer. Or you decided to read some materials that you thought would be educational and beneficial, and you focused on that, and in the process, you've neglected God's word. There'll be unbelief unless we're constantly in God's word. Many of those Old Testament stories, which are accounts of how God gave his people victory, whether it was David against Goliath, or in the days of Jehoshaphat coming before the Lord and admitting, we have no plan, we have no might, but our eyes are upon thee, and you see God give them the victory. You read those stories and they give you confidence. Your faith is strengthened. You read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews about those who lived and walked by faith, and you're encouraged, your faith is built up. But when you're constantly listening to the philosophies of the world and you become intrigued by them, you're influenced by worldly wisdom, you've neglected the word, you've neglected prayer, then unbelief sets in. When it comes to the matter of forgiveness, you're doubting. You say, I've prayed, ask God to forgive me, but I don't feel like he has. Wait a minute. It's not a matter of how you feel. The issue is, do you believe that God is faithful? He says, you confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you. How is it that he's just? Because if you're a child of God, your sin has already been put on Jesus Christ. So it's in keeping with his holiness and his justice that he forgives you. And he says he will, and it's impossible that God would lie. So you believe God. And then afflictions come. There's no end to the description. How do we get there? Some of them we bring on ourselves because of our neglect, because of our failure to do what God has enjoined us to do, because we have taken on friends that have influenced us. He says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, we tell our young people that over and over again, but that's just as applicable to older people as it is to young people. You travel with the wrong people, nobody here is tough enough to say, I can travel with the wrong people and I will not be influenced. God says you will be influenced. You're not tough enough to overcome. You spend all your time with people who are going down the wrong path. You say, I'm not going with them, but I like them, they're nice people. Well, you'll soon be like them. But sometimes afflictions come simply because it's God's design. It was God's design for affliction to touch Job's life. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. From the human standpoint, that just doesn't compute. How on earth could James be writing to a people who are already under persecution, had been driven from their homes, and tell them, count it all joy? Somebody might well have said, Brother James has gone off the deep end. He surely can't mean what he said. How can we count it joy? We're in deep trouble. Well, he didn't mean that you're going to feel uplifted and say, oh, hallelujah, I love trouble. Lord, I like to be sick. I like to suffer. I like reversals. Oh, no, doesn't expect that. You count it joy. How? Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. In other words, God has a purpose in the trial. He sent it to teach you, to strengthen you, but let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, he says, do not hit the eject button. You say, the way is rough. This is a bumpy road. I can't take it. So I'm going to escape reality. I'm going to drink or take drugs or become involved in some kind of sexual activity or do whatever it takes. I just can't take anymore. I've got to escape reality. It says, no, you stay in the race. The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. There are times we would like the circumstances to be changed. And sometimes God intervenes and changes the circumstances. But sometimes he gives us the same answer he gave to Paul when Paul prayed, Lord, deliver me from the thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times and God's answer was, I'm not going to change your circumstances. I'm not going to remove the thorn. I know it hurts, but I'm going to give you grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Oh, how sad. See how many times even Christians want to escape reality. I believe there is a place for drugs, for the right kinds of sicknesses at the right time and place. But I attended a conference here in Cincinnati a few years ago. There were 100 physicians present. There were 4 psychiatrists on the panel. And these other physicians were asking them questions. And over again, the doctors confessed, when people come to me and say, I'm depressed, I don't have time to talk to them. I don't have time to figure out what's wrong. I put them on an antidepressant. And I many times feel guilty because I know they're going nowhere. On the other hand, the psychiatrist said, send them to us. We can analyze it. We can work through the problems. Now, I'm admitting that there are times when people have a certain situation where it is required that they have medications. I remember having one case where a person came to me and they obviously were so heavily medicated we couldn't have an intelligent conversation. I never tell anybody what to do about medicine. I said, would you go back to your doctor and ask, could you possibly reduce the dosage so we can get to the place so we can at least converse? And the doctor agreed. And we were able then to have a conversation. There's no question but what medication is often overdone, prescribed when it's unnecessary. God's children ought not to be looking for the escape hatch, but to pray for grace to get through the trial. So that brings us then to consider, how do we get out of the mire? When we're sinking in the mire, what can be done? Well, when you face discouragement, you remember that David encouraged himself in the Lord. In a time when his own men were against him, he was in danger. He was deeply troubled, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. Somebody says, well, you know, nobody has come around to encourage me in a long time. Nobody said a kind word to me. Well, every man must bear his own burden, according to the book of Galatians. If you wait and fret because nobody is paying you the attention you think you're entitled to and nobody's encouraging you, you'll just get more and more discouraged. You say, well, how am I going to encourage myself? Well, you have to stop and remember that God is described in the scriptures as being the God of hope. For to the child of God, there is never a reason to say, I am hopeless. There's no hope, no. God is the God of hope. He's the giver of it. He's the source of it. And he is the God of comfort. You're troubled. You're depressed. You're discouraged. You feel to be sinking down. You need comfort. He is the God of comfort. And he comforts us in such a way that we are able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, we're not comforted by some trite phrase, by saying, oh, well, cheer up, you know, it'll get better. Well, it might not. It may get worse. How can you tell somebody it's going to get better? It may get worse tomorrow. What can I tell them? You can tell them if it does get worse, God is still your helper. He's still your hope. He's still your trust. He's still your salvation. You must turn to him. He is the God of hope, the God of comfort. Remember that his mercies are new every morning. Jeremiah said that in Lamentations 3:23. He was down saying, my hope is perished from the Lord. But then he recalled, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. And said his mercies are new every morning. This brings us to the point of being thankful. When you're sinking in the mire, you're going down, and you're not thinking about anything for which to give thanks. You're troubled. And it's so easy when you're sinking down to make matters worse. You just start pulling everything in on top of you, thinking about all the things that trouble you and all the things that might happen, all of the negative things you can. Pull it in on top of you. No thankful heart. No thanksgiving. His mercies are new every morning. And then remember that your labor in the kingdom of God, your labor in God's service is not in vain. You may feel you're sinking in the mire because you say, I look at my life and it doesn't look like I've accomplished much. I just thought at this stage of life, I would be farther along. I would be in a better position. I would have accomplished more. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. No matter how small the effort might be, we are not to despise the day of small things. When you're discouraged, remember that his strength is available to enable you to do whatever needs to be done. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it. Often in talking to people who become very discouraged to the point of being depressed, I say, well, tell me about your day. And if it's a real serious case, they'll many times say, well, I have trouble getting up in the morning. I've had several cases where somebody said, I don't get up till about noontime. And what do? Well, I just kind of sit around. I don't have much to do. No wonder they're depressed. God didn't make us to be lazy. He made us to work. Work is a good thing. It was designed by God. So I've talked to people and say, all right, I know you can't change overnight. So this week, instead of getting up at 12, you're going to get up at 11. And we worked it back till they were getting up at a decent hour. And I've said sometimes to people, what did you eat for breakfast? I don't eat breakfast. What'd you have for lunch? Junk food. What'd you have for supper? Not much. No wonder you're in bad shape. God designed these bodies, so we have to have sleep. Sleep is good. Eating is good. Jesus said, we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread. People get the idea that eating is bad. Not eating the wrong stuff is bad, but eating healthful food, you can't expect your body to be in good shape if you don't give it rest and food. And many times that failure contributes to somebody being down and discouraged. Say, well, I don't feel like working. Well, do it anyway. Young people say, I don't feel like getting up my lesson. That doesn't matter. That's your obligation. That's your responsibility. This life is not governed by how you feel at a given moment. You're to do what's right. Whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it. And obviously, we all have, if we see ourselves as we ought, we have this great sense of weakness and our own inabilities. And so we have to come back with the words of the apostle. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I don't feel like getting up at a decent hour, but I'm going to do it by the grace of God. I don't feel like going to work, but I'm going to do it. I don't feel like getting up this lesson, but I'm going to do it because it's something that God requires of me. What about the battle with the flesh? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says there is a way of escape. We can't just say, well, I guess this is me. I've just got a weakness in this area or that area. No, by the grace of God, we can overcome whatever the temptation is. Sometimes I have to pray, Lord, protect my mind. Just help me that those evil thoughts don't come there. But if they do, don't give them a lodging place. Go back to Paul's think list in Philippians 4, verse 8. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. And then what about your struggle with unbelief? You need to be feeding on the Word. You say, well, I've even had doubts about the Word. Well, you may have doubts about it. Sometimes godly people admit that they've even had doubts about the existence of God for a time. But God uses His Word to strengthen us, to build up our faith. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When we're doubting, we need to be enlightened. We need to be able to rejoice in our hearts. Where does this come from? God uses His Word to bring this about. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Oh, Lord, search me, try me, cleanse me. Even of those things that are down deep in within you that I don't even like to admit. Lord, I need help. I need thy grace. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Have to be like the man who came to Jesus with the son that was tormented by demons. And Jesus said, do you believe? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Mark 9:24. When you're struggling with doubts, come before him. Lord, the best I know how I believe. I want to believe. I don't want to be a doubter. Help thou my unbelief. And then what about the various afflictions that come our way? Remembering that God has a purpose in our trials. It may seem like we're wasting time. These trials have come and my plans have been disrupted. I can't go where I want to go, do what I want to do, because these afflictions now are bearing down upon me. David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." That's hard to say when afflictions are difficult, difficult to bear. But he says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. Remember that God is working all things together for your good. What's happening to you right now, you can't see any good in it, and there may not be anything good in the event itself, but in the experience that God brings you through in the process of learning to depend upon Him, it will be good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Come back to that promise. And finally, remember that the sufferings of this present time, though sinking in the mire, is tremendously unpleasant. And you know, if the Lord doesn't pull me out, if He doesn't come to my rescue, I'm down for the count. I'm not going to make it. But to remember these words in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Sometimes you get to situations that, you know, they're not going to ever be changed in this life. And if you thought, this is all of it, I'm missing out on so many things. My life is not turning out to be like I thought it would be. I'm terribly disheartened. But you remember this. Whatever we have here is temporary. There's something better on the other side. Someday, all the battles will have been fought. All of the troubles will be over. All of the tears will have been shed. And there's something better as we go home to be with the Lord. If you would like to get this complete message on CD, request it when writing us, and also if you'll ask for it, we'll send you a sample copy of our publication, The Baptist Witness. Our address is The Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Now, until we greet you next time, this is Lasair Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.